Welcome to the MHI Cast, the show where we talk to the industry's best minds to uncover their supply chain stories. We explore real-world case studies and get unique perspectives on key trends and emerging technologies from every corner of the material handling, logistics, and supply chain space. Cold chain operations present some of the toughest challenges for supply chain automation. While automation has transformed many warehouse environments, cold storage facilities demand a different approach. Extreme temperatures, condensation, limited space, strict compliance requirements, and the constant pressure to move perishable products quickly and safely can really complicate the decision to automate cold chain operations. So, designing an entire automated system that can withstand harsh conditions while maintaining reliability, visibility, and performance is critical. So, today I'm joined by Dave Gustafson, Industry Sales Specialist, Remobile Robotics at Six Sensor Intelligence, David Chevron, Vice President of Sales at Ocado Group, and Robert Battaglia, Director of Solutions and Business Development at New Move Robotics and Vision. Dave, let's start out with the fundamental question. How does automation change when you move into a cold chain environment?
In cold chain operations, you start to ask, what's going to break first? Cold temperatures, they stress batteries, sensors, electronics. It affects visibility and even material mechanical properties. So a robot that performs well at 70 degrees Fahrenheit will behave differently at negative 20. So before we consider the sort of standard picking rates and throughput and some of those operational objectives, we have to look at survivability. And can the sensors see reliably? Can the batteries last a full shift? Can the equipment handle repeated transitions between warm and cold zones? All of these come into play.
Great points. So before throughput, picking rates, and productivity can be discussed, organizations need to ensure the equipment can operate reliably in the environment. David, what design considerations come into play there?
I've been in so many environments where automation is involved, and sometimes it's different buildings, it's lighting, it's flooring, it could be a chill room, it could be temperature zones. There's all kinds of specialized environments to be careful of and consider when you're doing automation. Some of our customers, they have ambient zones they work in, they have chilled zones they work in, even freezers. And so you have to design your automation so that it can sometimes work across all three zones or even transition from one zone to another. So there's all kinds of things that you not only have to do with the automation itself, but also with your environment to make sure that, for example, you have really good humidity control, because you can imagine sensors and cameras that transition from one zone to another. If it's a condensing environment, it'll fog up the lenses and things like that.
And that transition between environments can create a big challenge. So Dave, with your sensor expertise, what do you have to say about the condensation factor?
In my world, at the sensor level, it's really all about condensation. It needs addressing right away. This is the main sort of culprit to poor performance in cold chain automation. Moisture forms on sensors, cameras, connectors, everywhere you really don't want it. And it happens particularly when you transition from cold to warm environments. It affects the flooring too, and the traction there as well for your drive and braking performance. If we could eliminate that, we'd be golden. You walk out of the freezer, what's the first thing you do if you're wearing glasses? You take them off. And we can't take our glasses off when we're a robot, unfortunately. Instead, we have to stop motion and wait for a couple minutes.
That's a great analogy everyone will understand. Glasses fog up due to temperature changes, and the same thing happens to cameras and sensors, which can inhibit their performance. With that said, how is technology evolving to address these challenges?
Battery technology and battery management systems have improved substantially. These robots can now monitor battery health more intelligently, and they can adjust operating strategies based on environmental conditions. On the sensing side, LiDAR is improved with solid state approaches and other advancements, say, in this multi-echo technology. This one's particularly interesting. It's kind of a trick up our sleeve as a LiDAR manufacturer. It's where we can process multiple return signals or echoes from the LiDAR. And from a single emitted laser pulse, we can distinguish where objects are with this reflected signal. Let me give you an example where the first echo might be the raindrop, the dust particle, or even the condensation on the lens, where the second echo may be a partially obscured object such as a wire mesh fencing or glass or something, and the last echo can detect that truly obscured object of the forklift, the stack of pallets, something further away. And all of that now can be measured and processed and analyzed, and you can kind of cut through the noise of, say, condensation and on the lens. And therefore, you also get alerts and warnings when the lens is dirty and needs now maintenance, need cleaning. So some really neat sensor technologies there. There are also improvements in materials. Oh, and this one's fun too, the prevalence of edge processing. And edge processing also has a side effect in cold environments where it can add a little heat to the system. So that's an added benefit.
It's fascinating stuff, but technology alone isn't enough. Facility design plays a major role in determining whether a cold chain automation project succeeds or struggles. Robert, maybe you can share some of your expertise here. What are some of the realities companies face?
I think that adds a lot of challenges to automation. A lot of things are made to be running in cold environments, particularly freezer environments. So there's a lot of specific components that might have to be changed out to make sure that they're able to operate in that kind of environment. So obviously increase the cost and things like that. So there's a lot of things you have to think about when you're putting or planning to put stuff in a cold environment. When you're working in a cold environment, you have to prepare for it. It's harder to get people that are going to work in those kind of environments, that are going to continue to be there in those kind of environments. Adds to health and safety issues that come up when people are constantly working in a cold environment. So it's definitely a disadvantage from a labor standpoint.
It's very clear that this type of labor challenge is one of the biggest drivers behind automation adoption.
There are quite a few. I mean, you're looking at some cold related injuries that can happen. And you're also looking at the wasted time of production. I mean, I was at a client's facility that they're operating in perishable food industry. And it's near freezing temperatures, 99-98% humidity. Operators have to wash their hands, put on masks, put on warm clothing, get their jackets on. And it takes them 15-20 minutes before they even start their shift between breaks before lunch. So the company's wasting about an hour and a half worth of employing time that they're paying. That's not helping get product out the door.
I can see that this technology is critical to both worker safety and efficiency. So Dave, what separates successful cold chain deployments from unsuccessful ones?
Sensors just aren't valuable because they produce data. It's because they give really real trustworthy data. And in cold environments, we need to look beyond just the specifications, the data sheets and things, and really ask how the sensing technology performs under real world cold conditions, the ice, the frost, the condensation, the temperature cycling. Boy, that temperature cycling is a real problem. Then we have reflective surfaces and varying lighting. All of this really contributes to data that can be suspect, but this is where we have to go beyond just the data sheet. So the best approach we're seeing in the most successful deployments is sort of this layered sensing or sensor fusion approach. And companies that build resilient automation systems are the ones that think about redundancy, diagnostics, and verification of that data.
And how does that accurate data stream help operations move from reactive to predictive?
Operators discovered problems after they happened, right? Today, we're increasingly having the ability to predict and know before they happen. But the connected sensors, continuously monitoring of product movements, of environmental conditions, of equipment health, operational performance in general, all of this with AI too can identify patterns that we might never notice. And instead of reacting and asking, hey, why did we have this problem in arrears, right? Companies can start to prevent the problem that's about to happen. And this is just a massive shift in reactive operations to now predictive operations, getting out and ahead of it.
Predictive intelligence doesn't stop with equipment performance. It extends to overall facility operations as well. So David, where are organizations finding the greatest opportunities in facility design?
think that's a good question, because when you think about some specialized environments, they could be much more expensive per square foot, for example. So when you build a freezer, that's a much more expensive piece of real estate than if you build an ambient warehouse. And so maximizing the use of that square footage or that cubic footage is really important. Flexibility is a real theme that is coming up a lot right now. I think what a lot of companies have been confronted with is they're not as sure of the view of what the world is going to look like 5 years from now than they used to be. So when they're considering automation investments, they need to not only have the advantage of the cost savings and the efficiency of automation, but they need to be able to pivot and make changes 6 months down the road, a year down the road.
So in other words, cold chain automation isn't just about today's operation. It's about building a system that can adapt to tomorrow's demands. Robert, are there situations where companies should rethink where automation is deployed?
I mean, putting automation in, as long as it's designed right and it's made to run in a cold environment or in a freezer environment, it's great. There's a way to get around that in terms of saving cost. For example, when you have to store frozen product, you have no choice. You have to store it in a freezer. But the automation part, the palletizing, depalletizing, you might want to pull that out of the freezer, get your product temporarily out of the freezer, automate it in a cooler environment temporarily, and then put it back in for storage in the freezer environment. So you can save costs by keeping your automation not in a freezer, but in a cooler, but still have less people operating and doing the work.
And that highlights an important point. The best answer isn't always automating everything inside the freezer. Sometimes it's redesigning the workflow to maximize efficiency while minimizing cost and complexity. Dave, when you look ahead at cold chain technologies, what excites you the most?
Predictive analytics. This one is really key to get it right. And it's almost easy these days, detecting a failing motor, battery performance, a conveyor or compressor, condenser. These are important equipment things that there are signs of it failing before we really have a problem. So we have these early indicators that saves real time and saves real money. But I also think the inventory and workflow optimization are great opportunities for predictive analytics, right? AI can identify bottlenecks, congestion patterns, and inefficiencies that aren't immediately visible, certainly to human operators. I'll give you an example. Ramping up or down cooling in anticipation of operational changes or events, but maybe it's shift changes or deliveries and such. But ultimately, predictive analytics turns the hidden operational signals into actionable decisions. So, and it's going to have a big impact on ROI and project success. My career has largely been in embedded electronics, so I'm perhaps biased. I get most excited about edge compute, that the sensor can make low latency decisions on the fly, can invoke behavior or take action based on the inference of a trained model right there at the sensor. It's super powerful. We've spent years making individual robots smarter and more optimized, but this evolution into making an entire facility smarter is really important. This orchestration of the greater workflow and the greater system is where I think the opportunity sits. And an AI-driven orchestration platform will coordinate the robots, the people, the inventory, the refrigeration systems, all of this in a single sort of ecosystem that's living, breathing. And this is where, relatedly, is the digital twin opportunity, right? When the system does get more complex and the ability to simulate these operational changes that we'd like to invoke before we make them in the real world, we can dramatically reduce the risk and reduce the investment waste and just accelerate optimization and impact. So digital twins, it's a fun road ahead here, the next decade.
As we close out our conversation, that might be the biggest takeaway from today's discussion. Cold chain automation is not about individual pieces of equipment. It's about creating an intelligent operational ecosystem where sensors, software, automation, and people work together.
A trap to avoid is viewing automation as equipment and start viewing it really as infrastructure and as a cohesive system. A robot isn't just a robot. It's part of a connected system that includes sensing, software, workflows, safety people. All of this is part of it. I'm seeing deployments and companies that are deploying this. They're not asking what robot should we buy, but they're asking what operational outcome are we trying to achieve and how do we design a system that gets us there reliably. So really having the whole system in mind is important.
The future of cold chain automation will be shaped by organizations that think beyond individual technologies and immediate needs, focusing on designing cohesive systems that are flexible and adaptable to future needs. Success requires the right sensors, the right automation strategy, the right facility design, and the right operational goals. As we've heard today, cold environments create unique challenges, from condensation and visibility issues to labor constraints and expensive real estate. But they also create some of the greatest opportunities for automation to really deliver value. So a huge thank you to Dave, David, and Robert for joining us today. And thanks to you, our audience, for tuning in. At MHI, we never stop exploring new opportunities to help you take your manufacturing and supply chain operations to the next level of success. Thanks for making us part of your professional development journey.